These are the Kashi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kashi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hey, everybody. It's time for the Kashi Tapes, and it's time for edition number 59. And it's brought to you by Black Raven AFC, not AMF.
Yeah, John, you know, if you want your business website to get found online, it takes strategy. You know, you got to make sure people find you first when they search. So putting together a search engine optimization plan with a team right here in St. Louis is your first step to getting found. So don't just get found when people look for you. Get found when people look for what you do. Start implementing a better SEO plan today. Let Black Raven AFC help you today. Just go to blackravendigital.com and reach up today.
Good. Now, today we are doing Rich Robinson of the Black Crowes, and this is a very recent interview that Favaz did with Rich.
It's about a year. This is not the one in January. I did one in January, and we talked about Chris a little bit. This one is from August of 2018, and I believe we talk about the whole situation a little more. You know, the Black Crowes just announced, if the Black Crowes, it's kind of funny to say that, it's just Chris and Rich and four other dudes that have never been in the band before, and they basically picked those four from what I've heard, so they don't, you know, they're going to keep their mouth shut. They're not going to say anything. So Chris and Rich are going to be in charge. They're going to get most of the money, and they're going to do a big four-month tour coming up in 2020. This was long before they decided, hey, we're going to get back together.
Also,
long before Steve Gorman's book came out talking about how money-hungry they are. So it's an interesting...
When you say long before, how much before?
Well, this was August of 18.
Oh, okay.
So
not that far back.
Well,
but they were still
18.
At odds.
Yeah, they were definitely still at odds at that point.
Okay.
So
the environment has changed.
It has. It's KSHE 95. With me on the phone is Rich Robinson of the Magpie Salute. Hi, Rich. Welcome back to KSHE in St. Louis.
Hey, thanks, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. So the Magpie Salute, the record, finally came out, and it's called High Water One. Is that how you're referring to it as?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Are you glad that
Whoa,
this
did
thing
you almost say the F word?
No, finally.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a long buildup, you know, but it's been great.
What, I mean, is part of it because he just gives, hey, it's been a long buildup, but it's been great. It's kind of answers that he gives sometimes.
Is that the way the whole interview goes?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know?
Magpie Salute. I never got into that, but...
No, they never had any big-time success. They had a couple good songs, and, you know, the reason that we're doing this interview as compared to the one that I did in studio in January is that we only talked about Chris one time. I listened to that whole thing, and I asked him, you know, do you ever care if you have your brother back again? Not even the Black Crowes, but your brother. And he's like, no, I'm okay, but it would be nice if I had my brother back.
Okay.
And so that was January, and I'm thinking, I wonder if, you Sometimes. Know... had been going on at that time.
Yeah. So who was with Paul Rodgers in Bad Company for a while? Is that Chris or Rich?
It was Rich.
It was Rich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Rich performed with them here in St. Louis.
Yeah, I know. I saw it. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
What, I mean, is part of it because, you know, your departure from the Crowes and everything, and the first record was mainly covers, but this time...
Well, the first record, I mean, the whole thing is that it was really... kind of an organic birth, in a sense, of a band. You know, we weren't planning on being a band. I was touring on my last solo record, Flux, and a show popped up in upstate New York where we were invited to come into a studio and play in front of a, you know, a live audience and record a live record of. And so, you know, I recorded a bunch of my songs and, you know, covers and stuff like that. So I'd reached out to Mark Ford to see if he was interested because, I mean, I hadn't spoken to him in 10 years, but...
Right.
Yep.
Mark Ford used to be in the Black Crowes.
Yep. Guitar player.
Great guitar player.
Yeah.
You know, he and I have such a strong musical connection, and I realize what a gift that is in my older age.
Took him 10 years to realize it, though. But,
it doesn't include him in this version of the band coming up.
That's right.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not in it. Mark Ford, any of the like the as I said, the four players that they've got with them have never been in the Black Crowes before.
Why would he leave him out, I wonder? That's
I don't know. Yeah. Because he doesn't want him. I don't know if Mark speaks up and, you know, has a say, you know, and tries to say, well, I think we should do things this way. You know, they don't want anybody saying anything.
Yeah.
I want to do this. And he was like, yeah, I don't care what it is. I'll come do it. And I felt like he was on the same page as me. And then I reached out to Eddie Harsh. And he said,
who's
yes.
dead now?
So, yeah, it was really cool.
When did he die?
A couple of years ago, at least.
From what?
I don't remember, but he was a heavy drug user. Mm. And, partier, and but he was a great keyboard player for the Black Crowes, and yeah. he has passed on.
So basically, they came into my solo band, which I liked the merging of those two contexts, and we recorded a bunch of shows, and that was going to be it. But then, you know, and everyone felt like there was something special there, and I spent the rest of my tour, you know, just thinking about what we would call it, what songs would we do, how would we do this, and then we put a show up for sale, and then we put three more up for sale. Then we decided to book a tour. And when we booked the tour, we were like, oh, yeah, I remember we made that record last summer. Let's just put that out. So it was just really kind of, you know, organic and just, you know, natural in that sense. But then after touring all last year, this year we wanted to make a full original album, and that's what we did.
And how, I mean, that process of making an original album back in the days when you were the Crowes, I remember, you know, Southern Harmony took just a couple weeks. Others probably took longer. But in 2018, is the process a lot different of writing, recording, and getting it out there? Is it quicker?
No, not the way that I do it. I mean, you know, Southern Harmony took 8 days.
Wow.
We went in and we had 12. Or 14 songs, we just knocked them out, you know.
But that was like the first album, right?
That was the second record.
Second record.
And they had songs already written, you know.
The first record didn't do much.
The first record was their, I think, their most successful. But if you look at the next one, it's the typically Black Crowes fans, that they'll say that's the best record.
The second one.
Yes.
So, yeah, Southern
mm-hmm.
Harmony.
Mm-hmm.
We had just come off of a 22-month tour and played 350 shows, and we were ready to go, you know?
Right.
America took a year because we scrapped one record and then went back in and did another, and it was, and that's just what it took. We wanted to make, like, a really kind of epic-sounding record. That being said, the way that I've always worked is just, you know, you go in and you do what is necessary. And this record, we didn't need to spend a ton of time on it. We recorded 29 songs in 21 days.
That's a pretty good clip.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you whittled it down to your favorites? Is that how it goes?
Well, no. I mean, you know, I put everything sort of on a table and looked at it because we recorded High Water 1 and 2 at the same time. And High Water 2 will come out early next year.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, which would be cool.
Really cool. And I know you're probably not involved so much with the booking and stuff like that, but I know you haven't been through St. Louis yet, but I did finally hear of a venue that you guys might be playing at. And I know that St. Louis was always good for the Black Crowes, and I'm sure it will be great for the Magpie Salute.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Was it?
So they ended up playing at Del Mar Hall, and it was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of weird. Chris, with his band, when he did his Hits of the Black Crowes, he played the pageant and sold it out. But when Rich comes with his band, Magpie Salute, they played Del Mar Hall, and they did not sell it out.
Wow.
So, yeah. You know, look who the bigger, you know, draw is right there. So.
You know, I mean, we go back out.
But he was using Magpie Salute as the drawing name.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that name.
True.
Black Crowes. If you'd have put Black Crowes does Magpie Salutes or something. I mean, you know, or with Magpie, it probably would have sold out.
Yeah, they did some Black Crowes songs, but yeah, I mean, it's Magpie Salute.
Yeah.
That's the name of it.
That just never caught on with me.
Yeah.
You know, we finish in the States at the end of September, then we go to Europe for a month in November, December, and then come back. And then January 5th, we go to Japan, and then we come back and start in the States again. And, you know, there'll be a Midwest run and a West Coast run, which will be cool.
Yeah, right on. We're talking to Rich Robinson of the Magpie Salute. Rich, are you absolutely sick?
Did he not want you to identify him as also a former member of Black Crowes? Or?
Well, I don't know. You're going to hear right here.
of Black Crowes questions.
Are you sick of Black Crowes questions?
No, I mean, you know, look, it was a big band. I was part of it. That was my music, and that was my band that I formed. I mean, I'm proud of it, you know, so.
All right, well, good.
I don't.
Because I've got one, and it's not one. I mean, I probably asked it last time I talked. Or no, I asked you different ones last time because it was fresh and everything of what happened between you and Chris. But this time around, Chris was just in St. Louis in May, and he played, and I went to see it. And he did like 17 shows. And the year before, he said he would never sing those songs again. And here, he comes out, doesn't put anything new out, but he takes his band. He does 17 shows. He was more, it seemed like, enthusiastic on stage this time around than what I can remember for the last couple of times with the Black Crowes. Did he go out on tour just as a F you to you?
I don't know why he did it.
Yeah. He goes more into where you were going on that.
I think, maybe it was a money thing.
Maybe.
Was.
So I don't really know. My whole thing is just don't be a hypocrite. You know what I mean?
Well, is that part of the reason why he did it? Because, I mean, he was so adamant about in his interviews, the last year, calling you guys a Black Crowes cover band and all that stuff. And then, that he would never sing these. And, he was into his hippie, dippy, trippy stuff. And then all of a sudden, I see Chris Robinson is coming to the pageant, and I couldn't believe it.
Well, I know he's getting divorced, so I think it's probably a money grab.
Oh, threw the divorce in there.
And secondly, his whole rhetoric about how he's never going to play those songs and I'm somehow in a cover band while I'm playing my own songs that I wrote, is just a sort of like a campaign to try to, his mind, when you surround yourself with people that agree with everything you do, you start to lose grip of reality. And maybe he worked that into his reality that,
brought up divorce and delusional.
Somehow I had nothing to do with, writing every Black Crowes song. And it's funny because he hired these two dudes to play guitar. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't even play in the proper tunings where I wrote the songs in.
Trashes the band.
Not only is he trashing the band here, when he came into town, so this was in August and then January of this past year, he trashed him again. He said, he doesn't have these good guitar players. I wrote the songs. I know how to play them.
Well, who owns the name Black Crowes between the two of them, or is it a joint thing? And
I think
either one of them.
Either one of them can go out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And from, hardcore Black Crowes fans thought it was pathetic. To each his own. Everyone's got to do what they have to do. If that's his deal, let him go do it. I'm happy to make music with this band. We're very sort of adamant about not going down that road that the Crowes went down of negativity and horseshit. And,
right.
That's really where we are.
I have to tell you, as a big-time Crowes fan, I thought Chris sounded good, but yeah, the band just didn't have the groove. And I thought it all started with, the drummer. And I emailed Steve Gorman about it. And I was just like, hey, man, I saw him. I was like, Chris was okay, but the band just didn't have it.
Yeah, the band doesn't have it. And, they don't know. I mean, that Marcus King kid had never heard any of the Crowes songs. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he's young.
Marcus King was just here, too.
Was he?
Yeah, he played, I think he played Del Mar. Yeah. Just met her a couple of weeks ago.
Hmm. But look, at the end of the day, it is what it is.
At the end of the day, he's getting divorced. He's delusional, and his band sounds like crap.
And he needed the money.
Stuff that Chris can't share.
Is it because? Let me ask you this.
It's like kids playing in a. It's like there's a truck in the sandbox, and you can't share it. You have to take it and go home.
I hear you. You always led the straight and sober life, and Chris, and we all know that he did not. Do you think that over time, that drugs, alcohol, whatever, played a part in that whole thing with him, telling you and, you and Steve that you would be off payroll or whatever it was, however it broke up. Did that have a lot to do with it?
I think that I think fame is kind of can be one of the worst drugs possible. And because the people, you know, depending on who you choose to have around you, you know, I think that it can be really dubious. And so I think that's probably what it is. But, you know, when you get high all the time and stuff like that, I think it clouds your judgment and maybe clouds your judgment of who you choose to have around you in the first place, you know.
Rich doesn't do marijuana, doesn't do anything
at all.
At all. Completely clean.
Doesn't even drink. Nope.
Have there been any well-documented fist fights between the two?
Yeah, I read Gorman's book. I mean, there was one famous one in New York where they had it out beforehand. They went and played just the two of them acoustically, and it was beautiful. But after that was over, boom, they went their separate ways, and they didn't want to talk to one another. But yeah, they were.
And they had fist fights?
Yes, absolutely.
The brothers.
Steve's book is so good, and I've met Steve enough times where I believe his version of things. I don't even know what they would say, mm-hmm. you know, per se. And, you know, at the time when Rich was in the studio in January, Steve's book had not come out. I'm sure it was being written. It came out in just September, just a couple months ago. And, you know, I believe what Steve has to say.
He was kind of like an unbiased referee in between the two, or was he on the
side? Kind of, yeah. But he was also, even though he wasn't a blood brother, he was a Robinson. He was there in the very beginning. He's the only guy that was left in the band. Mm-hmm. And
He didn't side with either one?
No, he trashed both.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear you. All right. Let me ask you this. So I was listening to Live at the Greek Theater not that long ago, and I don't really think I ever asked you about the times when you were basically with Jimmy Page. You know, you guys did all the Zeppelin stuff. You did some Black Crow stuff. But what I mean, as a guitar player, I'm sure it was great, you know, being on stage with him. But was there any part of you that felt like, man, I don't know that I want to be in a Led Zeppelin quote unquote cover band, if you will?
Do you want to hear the story now about Jimmy Page that Steve told in his book, or do you want me to save it after this? Because we're talking about Jimmy Page right here.
Yeah.
You want to hear it now?
Well, how about if I do a commercial for our sponsor, and then you tell us after that?
Do you mean Black Raven AFC?
I do mean Black Raven AFC, and I have some information about them that I'd like to share with the people right now, if you don't mind. And we'll get right back to this interview, this fantastic, riveting interview, by the way, that Favaz is doing with Rich Robinson of Black Crows. Yeah, every business needs a good website. I mean, that goes without saying this day and age, right? And to make you look real good, you got to have a company that can, you know, do a great job with your website, and they will at Black Raven Digital. If you aren't making a difference to the people who are trying to reach you or vice versa, your site is too slow or it doesn't connect properly or is hard to use by your team, you need to consider something reimaginable, something different. And they can do that for you at Black Raven AFC. They do this 24 hours a day, all day long, helping people run their websites in optimum form. So to find out more about this company that sponsors our podcast here, the KSH Tapes, go to blackravendigital.com. That's blackravendigital.com and reach up today.
Okay. So do you want to hear the story now or do you want to wait?
I do.
All right. So Steve, in the book, said that, you know, Jimmy Page was out on tour with him and he got a hurt back, you know, and he had to... Jimmy hurt his back. So at the time, the Black Crows, I believe, were given a new contract. I think they had signed with Virgin or something. So they were going to make a record coming up. So Jimmy Page comes up to Rich Robinson and says, hey, I've got a few riffs.
I know the story. Go ahead.
I've got a few riffs. Why don't we, you know, you can take these riffs, give me some songwriting credit, and you guys can take them. And, you know, we can work them out and you guys can make your record. And Rich told him, no, we don't need your help.
Yes, that's unbelievable.
Terrible. Just that. Yeah. Even if you're not going to use it, and I've said it on the air, you say, yeah, let's do it, and then shelve it. Never use it.
Right.
You know? But he told them then. And Steve never knew. And then the next day, Jimmy quit the tour.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Page was, he was like, well, wow, these guys don't need me. You know, I'm sorry. He is Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin.
Sure.
So he went home. you know? And that's how the tour ended. And Steve, at that time, never knew what had happened. He found out years later. Mm. And he said he could have just punched Rich right in the face. Yeah. And when I heard that, when I read that in the book, it really hurt me, you know, considering that, you know, all this, I liked Rich, you know?
Yeah.
And he just told Jimmy Page to fuck off, basically.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy, you know, man.
It is.
So who is the bigger...
dickhead?
Yeah.
Chris. Chris is. Chris has always been known as difficult and...
But Rich is the one that said that.
But Rich did that.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
We weren't a Led Zeppelin cover band.
Right, you weren't, but...
It was a finite amount of time, and we were just out there for Jimmy. I mean, it was really... It was just fun to do. I mean, the thing is that there's no big statement... We played with Jimmy. He loved the Crows. We loved him. He's a good dude. We loved playing some Yardbird songs. We played some Pink Floyd songs, which he was into, some old blues songs, and we played some Zeppelin songs. We were just there to give Jimmy a platform to play. He hadn't played in a long time, and I thought that was just a really cool thing to do.
How cool was it to be next to him on stage as a guitar player?
Oh, it was great. I mean, he was such a cool person and just loved music and was playing his ass off. I mean, that's really all it was about.
But you didn't need anything from him.
You know, I must say that I did like the Magpies version of Pink Floyd's. Did you do Free For or Fearless on that record?
Fearless. Yeah, we were doing Fearless.
That was a cool little version you guys did, I thought.
Thanks, man.
I like that a lot. All right, so, well, Rich, we want to see the Magpie in St. Louis, so...
We'll be there, I promise.
I'm hoping that it happens. And once again, High Water 1 is out. High Water 2, you heard the man say that it will be out in early 2019. And Rich Robinson, great to talk to you, man. And we can't wait to see you. And good luck with the record and all that stuff.
Excellent. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you, Rich.
Yeah, man. Okay. Thank you.
There you go. I have to admit, I have never been a real big Black Crowes fan, and I don't know why. I like a lot of the songs on Southern Harmony for sure. What was the name of the first album? I don't even remember.
Shake Your Moneymaker.
That's right.
That's the one they're going to tour. They're going to do in its entirety coming up on this tour.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there are good songs on that album, too.
Oh, great songs on that record.
Those first two albums both were loaded with great music. Yeah, I don't know why I never really became a big fan.
Well, because after that, they became, you know, Chris's concoction of what music should be. Mm-hmm. It was kind of trippy. He got into the Grateful Dead, so he got into the jammy stuff and you know, the Black Crowes live started really, you know, doing 12-minute versions of songs and things like that. And so they kind of, you know, they kind of took a detour from what we really like. Now, I hung in there. You know, I love the Black Crowes. They're one of my top three bands of all time. It's Zeppelin, Pearl Jam, and the Black Crowes. And not in any particular order. And it was hard because you just knew, there are some certain songs that should have been staples, like Hard to Handle and She Talks to Angels are monster songs.
Yes.
Chris didn't want to do them.
Yeah, you're kidding me.
No, he did not want to do them.
That's
crazy. And now they're going to do them every single night coming up in 2020.
How long do you think this is going to last?
Well, I think that, and I've been asked this before, I think as long as there's enough money involved, it'll last.
Hmm. So if the ticket sales are good...
Which I don't know if they will be. I don't know what it sold here already. I mean, you know, they went on sale already. You know, I wouldn't expect any kind of, you know, until you can really look at it till, you know, like April or something like that. Because I think it starts in May, June, July, August. I mean, I think it starts maybe in June, July, August, September. It goes for 4 months. And they're going to be here in St. Louis in August. And I think when you get to springtime... And people start, you know, opening up their wallets a little more. Hey, I want to go to this show. I want to go to this show. Yeah. You know, only the hardcores right now that really believe in Chris and Rich are going to go. I just, personally, I wouldn't.
Really?
No, I'd go for free, but I would never, ever pay money to go see Chris and Rich and the four guys that they have in the band.
Why?
Because of Steve's book. I read Steve's book. Chris and Rich are money driven, and this is a cash grab tour for sure, and it comes on the
heels. But a lot of artists do that.
I know, but they totally dissed everybody else that was ever in the band. The Black Crowes, for the Black Crowes fans, it was always Chris and Rich, but it was Steve. It was Mark Ford. You know, it was Fenn on bass, you know.
So
all these guys are gone.
So what's possibly happening here, you say that they it's just those two, the brothers, because they want to just control everything.
Yes.
But it's also very likely that they want to make sure that they're paying this band as little as they can pay them, and they're making as much money as they can possibly make out of the deal, too.
You could not be more correct, John Hewlett.
Hmm. Wow. How well do you know these guys?
Steve and Rich, I've met, you know, a few times, and I know Steve's,
would they know you by name or by
Steve would, yeah, for sure. Rich, for me, I don't know, but Steve definitely would. Steve's band Trigger Hippie is going to play the Duck Room, and he's going to come on the KC Morning Rock Show when you're gone.
Yeah,
and he's already. I have his email,
right?
You know, and I emailed him and said, hey, why don't we knock out your book and we can talk about the band, and so he's agreed to come on that morning.
What about Chris? You don't know Chris?
I've never. I've met Chris in meet and greets.
Never interviewed him?
Never interviewed him.
Does he do very, very many interviews?
I don't think that he does.
Yeah.
He did one for the opening of this tour thing with Howard Stern, and I listened to a good bulk of it, and it was just like, what a bunch of shit. It's just like, oh, let's hug and kiss, you know, how he's changed, and you know, and it could be true.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that it is. But
I'm kind of surprised a promoter would take a chance, you know,
take
get
a
involved.
Big chance.
Yeah.
It's a, because if you read Steve's book and you read about all the shows they did, and, you know, they were the band that had the chance to be monstrous big, and they just never did.
Yeah.
And it was because of, you know, Chris's lack of writing a good set list and wanting to perform certain songs. And,
yeah.
You know, that's why I really like Steve's book. It's called Hard to Handle, The Death of the Black Crowes.
Were you leery to bring up these questions about his brother? Or did you feel like he hates his brother so much that you could easily bring stuff up and he'll just jump right in with you?
I Rich, to me, in interviews, was always very honest. So, you know, I always prefaced it by saying, hey, you know, I know you're sick of the Black Crowes questions. But he would say, no, I'm not, you know, and then I would go.
Yeah.
So I really didn't have any hesitation at all. And if I interviewed Chris, it would be kind of the same way, even though I don't know him. I mean, what are you going to ask Chris Robinson? You're going to ask him about the breakup. You're going to ask him about what he really feels like about his brother, although he says he's fine and dandy right now. But it's the same thing, man. I mean, you can't go, gee, Shake Your Moneymaker was a great record. You know, yeah, you guys are going to do that record every night, you know. You've got to ask, you know, and I know you agree with me because you've done enough of these that you would ask them the tough questions.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to answer them, they're not going to answer them.
Yeah. All right. That's anything. Finished there? Anything else?
I think that was it.
Okay. Well, this has been episode 59 of the KC Tapes. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan, and on Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
And thanks to Black Raven Digital for sponsoring, and Favaz here, and I'll see you guys next week.
Adios, my friend.
AMF.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.